You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Oops, your culture's showing.
And what does that mean?
I don't know. that's the point of the show.
Exactly. We don't know that our culture is showing when, but it is always showing. It's always there.
Are you saying I cannot help but have my culture show?
You cannot help but have your culture show.
So absolutely. It's sticking out all the time.
It's there. And sometimes that's okay.
Yeah.
And other times you got to zip it up.
Well, I hear that. I just want to know whether or not it's just my culture or anybody's culture.
Everybody does that.
Okay.
That's it. And all so right. We all have to be a little bit more aware of it. And it is in everything.
Everything.
Everything. I mean, you're sitting here having a cup of tea.
Yeah.
I'm having a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And there's a cultural thing in that.
Well,
even having a cup of tea.
Okay. I suppose I didn't mean to do that, but I guess you don't mean to do this, right? You just do it and you don't even think about it.
Right. So what kind of tea is this? This is a
well,
mint
this is
tea.
This is my tea right now over here. So keep your grubby mitts off of it. And that's your tea over there. By the way, I'm Tom Peterson and you're Dean Foster.
I'm not.
You're not Tom Peterson. Some days I'm not Tom Peterson too, but today I am. And you're Dean Foster or a reasonable facsimile. So you are the person who...
Well, you are the host of the show.
I am.
Who's talking to me, the guest, because I'm...
Well, you're more than a guest.
More than a guest. Right.
Yes. You're a constant contributor. And pain like, in the you know what,
like the guests who stay, like the house guest who stays, like what W.C. Fields said, fish and house guests begin to smell after 3 days.
3 days, yeah. Yes. If we're in here for 3 days, that's a major problem. And by the way, the laughter you hear in the background is our producer, Torin. And we're here to talk to you about culture. And that's why we're mumbling on about tea
and I'm here to talk to you about
nonsense.
Culture because I'm the guy who's been to over 100 countries and right. written 5 books about it. And supposedly I have something to say.
Yeah, and you've run a couple companies too, I think.
I think we did that also, yes.
Okay, I right. vaguely remember that. Right. I kind of come out of television, theater, and that kind of stuff in voiceover world and... And I'm teaching college right now. Who thought that would happen?
And with all of that,
yeah,
we share certain similarities, like having a cup of tea.
Yep.
And by the way, it's late in the afternoon that we're doing this, so it's around 4 o'clock. Now that's a cultural thing, right there. The mid afternoon tea break.
Well, I know that in England,
very English,
very much English. We have tea.
I love it to start my day with a cup of coffee.
Yes.
Midday cup of tea.
Cup of tea.
End of the day, glass of wine. This All is right. civilization. This
well,
is the way it
if
go.
Only that were it, right there. If only. But all right. Well, we're sitting here with this tea. And by the way, you and I have been sharing cups of tea for several decades now. And
not the same cup.
Absolutely same cup. It's a really disgusting cup at this stage. So you were saying that, and I was mumbling in there about being British and so on for tea, but it's not only British, right? There's other ceremonies around the world.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. And I'm thinking that, you know, the tea that we're sipping right now is this mint tea from Morocco.
Okay.
And, of course, we're not in Morocco right at this moment, but if we were drinking tea in Morocco, there'd be a little bit of a, it'd be served differently.
Why? In what way?
First of all, the tea would be brewed, and then it would be put in this samovar-type large urn.
Oh, nice.
And it will be poured into a small cup, your small cup, my small cup, poured into this from a great height and a great distance. So the pourer would hold this urn up and pour it so that there was a huge spout of mint tea coming into this tiny cup.
Is there a splash zone with that?
No, that's the thing. The skill is not to splash it or waste a drop.
Really? And yep. This is a highly skilled and quite risky occupation.
Very, very skilled. And it's hot.
Yeah.
And it's often pre-sweet.
The tea's hot and the weather's hot.
And the weather's hot too. Yeah, well, okay. Not always hot in Morocco, no. But generally.
All right.
Yeah. And so it's often pre-sweetened, as the tea in most of the Arab world that's served to you will be.
A lot of sweetening.
Yeah, pre-sweetened. Right. So don't put sugar in it until you taste it, right?
Right.
But then here's the difference. You go to East Asia.
Yes.
And the tea in China, Japan, and that part of the world, often it will be served without sugar, and the expectation is you don't put sugar in it.
Okay.
Certainly green teas.
Yes.
Or teas that have not been roasted.
Yes.
They're green teas. You don't put sugar in them. Don't ask for sugar. And a green tea is drunk a lot in Japan, for example, and parts of China. It would be insulting to ask for sugar to put in your tea.
Sure. Okay.
The bitterness is part of the joy of it.
So, but here's my question about all of this. Why do I care?
You may not care, actually.
Okay.
And in fact, I don't care that you don't care.
Well, I don't care that you don't care that I don't care.
Well, there we go. That's so either a song or an introduction to Philosophy 101. Didn't Kierkegaard say something like that?
Yes. But then she took her coat and went home.
I thought so. Oh, that Kierkegaard.
That Kierkegaard.
Sandra Kierkegaard.
Remember her? Right. She was great. She was great. But she loved tea.
Sister of Soren.
Sandra. Yeah. Yes, Sandra loved tea.
Green tea or
green
Moroccan
tea, Japanese
mint
green tea.
Tea.
Now, I actually have had several Japanese green teas, which are really good. If you like, as you say, it's very leafy.
And
is that
bitter?
A word?
It can be bitter
yeah,
tasting.
Bitter. Uh-huh.
I've learned in my life to enjoy the bitter taste of things.
Have you?
When I was younger, I didn't like bitter things.
No.
No. But
hold on, I'll try to wake the people up who are listening right now.
But lately, I enjoy bitter greens,
yeah.
For example.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Maybe it's well, I think you've gotten a little bitter as you got older. It's just
Or maybe just the bitterness in my life has leaked away. And so I enjoy.
Something's leaked away. I know that. Well, that is not something we want to talk about right now. So here we are with our tea. If I'm in Morocco, or if I'm in London, or I'm in Beijing, and I'm going to drink tea with people,
the ceremonies will be different.
There are ceremonies, and is it, in this day and age, is that ceremony a big deal? And in this day and age, is this going to influence people if I don't do it correctly?
No,
or,
okay. I don't think so. But
isn't
it just nice to
be
know,
a benefit
right?
to me if I do it?
I think so.
Or try to do it.
I think fundamentally, you know, if you don't understand it, you don't necessarily have to do it or even do it right.
I mean,
for example, the Japanese tea ceremony is very complex.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to hold the cup a certain way, and you have to turn it a quarter of a turn, and then sip it, and then bite a cookie, and then turn it another quarter of a turn, and you have to turn in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
It gets very complex. And
okay.
And what's the purpose of that? You know, and for you as a visitor to Japan at this point in time, probably none. But those fine points, while you might not need to know them, point to the deeper point, I think, which can affect your enjoyment of the tea. Like, if you didn't know not to put or even ask for sugar, then that's just going to spoil the taste, you know? And
yeah.
And others who might be enjoying that tradition would probably feel uncomfortable that you don't understand it and you're there.
Okay. Can you ask questions?
Yes, you can. For example, in Japan, as a Westerner, the expectation is that you don't understand these things. So therefore, if you do respectfully ask questions about it, that's appreciated. And it gives them the chance to explain their culture to you. And I think as a general rule everywhere, asking respectfully about things you don't understand is most of the time a perfectly legitimate and very appropriate thing to do. And we don't do it enough.
Okay. That's good to know. All right.
It's never really gotten me into trouble. You do it in a respectful kind of way.
Sure.
You know? Now, is that an excuse for not preparing? No.
Right.
You know, I think to the degree that you could prepare ahead of time, very important, which is why we're talking about it right now.
Absolutely, because this is a way of preparing right here.
Yes. Listen to
Believe
us.
Believe it or not.
Listen to us because we don't know what we're talking about.
No idea.
But we don't,
oh, well.
But we don't know a little less than other people.
<You're right. laughs> We can be as dumb as anybody else. So
but maybe just not
go.
That dumb.
Not quite as dumb. Somewhat dumbless. Okay. If I'm doing business in those places, or even if I'm a student who's there on school or something, and I'm with a family, and now I'm at one of these ceremonies, I get it into my mouth, and this is not a good experience. Right?
You're not enjoying
it. I'm not enjoying this.
Yeah, swallow it anyway.
So, but seriously, is it basically go ahead, try to swallow it?
Else are you going to do?
And can you not drink it?
You could spit it out.
Well, right? Yeah, let's say you don't spit it out.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so you maybe sip a little and see what it tastes like, and you're going, I don't know if I can drink this stuff. Sipping is the key.
Yeah, and I think it's very important to do that, especially if the liquid or the drink is used in a toast, right? And it could be alcoholic. So in all around the world, toasting and drinking is a social event in most places, not all places, but most places. If you don't want to drink the alcohol at 9 o'clock in the morning, if you don't want to drink the vodka at 9 o'clock in the morning in Poland, you know, or in Russia.
Right.
And it's not uncommon at a business meeting to have the shot glasses come out.
Really, at a business meeting.
In Moscow, could be. Or Budapest. Put it to your lips. You got to make the toast. You got to go through the ceremony. You don't have to drink it. You could just wet your lips, right? But don't ever refuse the hospitality.
What's the chances you're going to run into it if you're over there? And
if you're a visitor, the chances of running into it are very good.
Okay.
Because these are social events that are an effort to build relationships based on the way that culture likes to build relationships, particularly with non-locals.
Right.
I mean, if you're in somebody's home, they're not going through the ceremony every day with each other.
Sure.
Right? But they will go through it with you.
So you almost become an excuse to do it in some cases.
Yeah. Okay. And it's an honor. Yeah. And this, you know, these things happen with tea, but often also with coffee. There's all these traditions of coffee. If you're in Ethiopia, one of the world's greatest coffee.
Excellent coffee.
I think coffee actually started. There's some can we have Torin?
Torin, you want to check that for us?
The origins of coffee, I think.
Yeah,
or
origins
Ethiopia.
Of coffee. Right.
I think it was Ethiopia.
See what you can find for us.
Yeah. So
you're still awake, Torin? Okay, good.
So if you're given coffee there, first of all, the coffee is roasted in front of you.
Okay.
Right. And then it's ground.
Yeah.
And then it's brewed. So right. There's those three steps.
Wow.
And then you poured the first cup, you're expected to drink it. Mm-hmm. Right. And you don't ask for milk or cream or anything like that.
Right.
And then you drink a second cup. And this stuff can be highly caffeinated. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to be offered a third cup.
Okay.
And this may go on. This might occur toward the end of, let's say, a meeting. Right.
Yep.
It's very important, no matter when this happens, to drink all three cups. Because the first cup is a symbol of the fact that we're becoming friends.
Okay.
The second cup is that we are friends. Mm-hmm. And the third cup is that we can now depend on each other.
Mm.
Right? So
this is in Ethiopia.
In Ethiopia.
Okay. Yep.
Yes.
And now let me ask about size. Okay.
Size matters.
Size does matter.
Just about everything.
And here we are. Are we talking like a demitasse cup? Are we talking a regular, what the Americans, the U.S. would think about a coffee cup?
Now these
are we talking about a mug size or a bowl?
No, usually small.
Small. Small. So closer to a demitasse.
Yes.
So the three cups, although highly caffeinated,
right,
are not necessarily going to be overwhelming to you. And actually, I can already smell the coffee being brewed. Mm-hmm. That's like fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're in, let's say, Gulf Arabia, right? Alcohol is in most of the countries there, not all, but most of the countries there is prohibited, right? So
right.
Drinking all day long is going to be tea, coffee, tea, coffee, tea, coffee, tea, all day long in an effort to show hospitality to you,
right,
the guest.
Right.
So you'll always be offered a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, tea, coffee, tea. Highly caffeinated, often pre-sweetened. By the time you get to the third cup of whatever it is, you know, you're buzzing.
You bet.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
So
this is like we're downing straight Coke at this point. I mean Coca-Cola.
Right. You don't want any more, right? But you can't refuse it.
Uh-huh.
Because if you refuse it, you're refusing the hospitality.
Sure.
The effort at hospitality, which is an insult.
Can you slow it down?
Well, you can. What do? You sip it. Take a sip.
Okay.
Put it down.
Okay.
And wait a while.
Yeah.
Right? But once that cup is emptied, you are now obligating your host To fill it back up again. By the way, in Gulf Arabia, a little unique way of saying I don't want any more is when the effort to fill your cup is made, you hold the cup, lift it up off the table, hold it in your hand, and just wiggle it from side to side.
Kind of rock it back and
forth. Rock it back and forth.
Okay.
Right.
Turning your wrist.
Yeah, that means no more. Thank you.
Okay.
Right. And a lot of people
it's
would
kind of saying no. I can.
A lot of people interpret that as saying it's empty. Fill it up, please. It's the other way around.
Yeah, sure. Because if I was sitting at a bar and I had a glass of beer and I picked it up and shook it like that, the bartender would come over and fill it up.
Right.
Or give me a new one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think the people in the United States, anyway, understand the importance the British put in the method of making their tea. And this is like a daily basis. This isn't even just at a ceremony. Am I right?
Absolutely. It's the pot to the kettle. It's never the kettle to the pot.
Right, right.
Right? Because if you lift the kettle where you're boiling the water off the stove and take it over to the pot, well, you've already cooled it. It's cooling already.
Okay.
And then you pour that boiling water into the pot with the tea leaves for the steeping.
Yeah.
At that point, the water may be cooler than it should be. You want that water to be busting, boiling hot, right?
So, better to steep with.
Right. So you bring the pot to the kettle. You never bring the kettle to the pot.
That would be to live by.
And that's if you're being mum.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Being mum is what the Brits say. You know, two guys getting together, one's going to make the tea.
Yep.
So one of them's got to be mum.
Okay.
Right. So I'll be mum, and then I bring the kettle to the pot.
I remember a little club once like that, but that's another story. It's because in the U.S., we're kind of like, you know, just drag the thing over
Stick a tea bag in a mug and put it in the microwave.
Do it, yeah, and heat it up.
Now you don't microwave
And you've pretty much insulted an entire nation if you do that there, yeah. And while I certainly don't intend to insult an entire nation, I'm going to try to not insult you by telling you that we're going to take a short break right now. Got any questions for us? Well, if you do, there's a couple of ways to get hold of us. First of all, on email, our email address is oopscultureshow@gmail.com. And our handle on Twitter is oopscultureshow. Pretty clever, huh? So talk to us. Good. Torin, did you get anything for us on the origin of coffee?
Yes. Coffee can trace its origins back to the 11th century in the ancient coffee forests of the Ethiopian plateau. So there you go.
Ah, there we go. Ding, 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 ding. Well, that's one in a row for you. Congratulations.
when is the duck going to come down and give me $100?
Unfortunately, I can't do that for you.
Well...
And if any of the listeners understand that reference,
if you understand the duck reference, you're really? 427 years old.
Wake up.
Yes. Yes. We probably had to dig you up for you to do that. Well, we're putting all this emphasis on coffee and tea.
No, but it's true on wines and drinks, you know, toasting we mentioned before.
Yeah, sure.
And like if you're sitting at the Chinese banquet
right.
in China, and you will always go to a Chinese banquet.
The Chinese banquet, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a guest and you're over in China, one of the first things they're going to do is they're going to take you out some night sooner than later and wine and dine you at the Chinese banquet. So you're having drinks and maybe you have a beer glass, maybe you have a whiskey glass, and you drink it down, right?
Yep.
And you want some more beer.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a bottle of beer right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And your glass is empty. So what would you do in the States?
You'd take that bottle and you'd pour it into your glass.
Right. Big no-no in China.
Okay. How come?
Well, you just prove to them that you're a barbarian, which is what they suspect anyway.
I was going to say.
No, I say that because historically, going back to in China, before the Chinese actually had a lot of experience with Westerners, they were just beginning to... The idea was that Westerners were admired for their technical accomplishments and achievements civilizationally, but socially we were viewed as barbarians because we weren't as sensitive to the human dynamics and the human interactions that are so important in Chinese culture.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, filling up our own glass with beer.
Right.
No, you're not taking care of your neighbor. And you're not giving your Chinese the Chinese fellow who's sitting next to you the opportunity to take care of you, which is their obligation in a culture like China where it's always about the other person.
Okay,
your relationship with the other person. So if your glass is less than half full and you want some more beer, and maybe your Chinese friend has kind of had a few beers too, and they're not really focused on the fact that your glass is empty.
Yes.
What you do is you pick up that beer bottle, and instead of filling your own glass, you put a few drops in his glass.
Okay. All right.
And that's the signal to him that he now has to fill your glass.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And that's how you get your glass full in China.
All right. Huh.
And that's really a metaphor for working in China. Take care of their needs first, and that you are now obligating them to take care of your needs.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be tough for most Western...
Wait, I'm sorry. This is not a good news story, but it's a fact.
Nonetheless. Okay, fine. But I can see how Westerners, people from the U.S., would easily screw that one up.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy one to screw up. Sure.
Proving over and over again that you are the barbarian, they suspect you.
In their interpretation, absolutely. And we think, well, then take care of your own bottle of beer. Each side is always correct in their own mind up to a point.
Oops, your culture's showing.
Oh my gosh. Excuse me. Let me, 1 second here.
But okay. If we go to Argentina.
Yeah. Whoa. We just changed hemispheres. How did that happen? It must be that magnetic pole thing again.
What's happening with that magnetic
pole? A couple thousand years. It's going to do that. The sucker's going to flip right over.
It's going to
flip right over. I don't know. Someone said it's on the internet. It's got to be true. So,
is it really on the interwebs?
On the interweb thing, that worldwide thing. Yeah, yeah.
That crazy interweb thing.
Yep. Somebody, we're saying it on it, so it must be true, right?
So seriously, it's flipping?
Yeah, this is a real thing.
Can that happen? Is that allowed?
If it's a real thing, it's going to happen. Look, I am zero expert in this, okay? I just have read a little bit about it and heard a little bit about it. I don't believe it's the kind of thing where we're all going to go, oh, God, and like everything's going to fall off the shelves and we're going to tip over. I don't think that's
what's
happening.
Like Y2K?
Well, first of all, it's 2,000 years from now. So if I'm going, oh, God, at anything, that's going to be amazing. But as I understand it, it reverses it so that now north is up and north is down and south is up. And I don't know if there's a process. I don't know if they have to fill out paperwork. I have no idea, but I'm going to bet they probably do. I'm sure there's zoning regulations.
Well, somebody's going to make money off of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Maybe you could get someone, a lawyer will defend you against the flip of the polls.
Well, and given the fact that there's a cultural thing in this.
Is there?
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Given the fact that cultures develop differently in part,
yes.
Not only, but yes. In part because of geographic and topographic location.
Right.
Climate, weather, right? Does this mean that the cultures that develop further north are now going to have to become more like the cultures in the south and vice versa? Well,
okay, that becomes really interesting because when you really look at it, because if tell me if I'm mistaken, which I know you will, if
no,
if you go, but the planet warms in the equatorial region. So as you go towards that, it warms, but then as you go away from it, it cools. So do you have similar cultural aspects from the people in the farther north and the people in the farther south areas?
Are they more
I know you do in the ones
similar?
Closer to the equator, mm-hmm. on both sides of the equator, both hemispheres. So if you, as you go away, let's say you go to the Scandinavian countries or you go down to the tip of South America.
It is, yeah.
Are you going to find, I mean, other than the other type of influences on culture.
Right. If we can just isolate out the influence
location,
of topography,
geography. Yes.
Right.
And weather. Stuff like that. Because you're obviously going to have significant seasons in those both those places.
Right.
And that has an effect on culture, right?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. For example, as you move north or south,
right,
into the colder regions, you have to go from tropical to temperate to frigid,
right?
And so the crops that you grow as you move from those locations are different.
Sure.
So crops in the tropics are growing all the time.
Right.
So there's no seasons necessarily to that, which means that human beings can organize themselves without concern for storage. and harvest, right? But as you move into a temperate zone, whether it's north or south, then the crops are different. These crops have a seasonal aspect to them. So they have to be harvested at a certain time, and you have to store them at a certain time, and they're not going to grow over the winter. And this creates a different way of for human beings to think about how they organize themselves. Because if you don't get out there in time to harvest them, you may starve through the winter.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you don't have the luxury of year-round fruiting and sprouting as you would in the tropics. So you have to build a society that is now organized and much more forward-thinking, or else you have to be able to project yourself into the future.
Yeah, okay.
All right? That's a very different mindset.
A little sci-fi there.
Well, it's a little sci-fi-y.
Well, going back to what you were asking about before, it sort of sounds like, because I think, and again, don't go with me on this, baby, but I think the pole flip is
are we calling it? Is that what we call it?
That's what I'm calling it.
The pole flip?
I'm calling it the pole flip. I've already patented that.
It sounds like
so
something
don't try
in
to
the,
get in on
so,
it.
Something in the Summer Olympics, actually. The famous pole flip.
Right. Yes. How that's
not a pole vault, but
pole flip. And during that time, I think they will have that in the Olympics. You're going to have to just start in one hemisphere and end in another. It's that's not easy.
That's quite a vault.
That's a big pole. Right. That's a big pull.
Well, Elon Musk will figure that out.
I think he will. He'll still be around,
right?
Actually, at that point, good old Elon.
Yeah.
Okay. So it seems like maybe, I mean, other than the other factors that we started to talk about that we're not going to go into right now, but that the other areas that influence culture, those cultures might not be impacted as much. If we were swapping out the poles to, like, the North Pole was going to the equator, I think we have a big time difference.
That's going to be a bigger problem than if the North Pole goes to the South Pole.
Right. Because basically, I think they're just kind of changing places.
But it's the same thing, right?
Well, it's sort of, you know,
you know who's got a problem with it?
I have no idea.
The penguins.
Ah, good point.
Because they're only right now
on
the South Pole.
Are they polar acclimated?
Just the way polar bears are only right now, I think, in the North Pole.
I believe you're right. With that.
Torrent, can we double check that?
Polar bears only in the North
Pole.
We
know that the penguins are only in the South, but are the polar bears only in the North? That's the question.
Okay, I'll take a look.
But
of course,
but
there are penguins in Hawaii, but so in South Africa.
They just lost their way.
But they flipped years ago and it had nothing to do with
what
this.
What are penguins doing in Hawaii?
Vacationing, I think.
They're vacationing.
I think.
They're snowbirds.
They are. They're having a great time. I wish I was them. Come on. If you're going to be a penguin, why not Hawaii, really? That's a long trip. That's a long trip.
It's a very long trip to Waddle.
Where's Waddle?
Because they can't fly, right?
That's in Australia, isn't it, Waddle?
No, in Australia, it's Waddle Waddle.
I see. Okay. I used to play the Waddle Waddle in Australia.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Was that the instrument or the
No,
or the
I lost
sport?
2 out of 3. Yes. Yes. It was...
I thought it was an indigenous instrument from Hawaii. Well, a three-stringed instrument from Hawaii.
Is it? Is it?
That made its way to Australia.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's... Sure. Okay. So we've got the polar magnetic poles flipping place, and that you think probably given the factors, it's not going to have a huge influence on cultures. Unless there's another factor here that is just not realized. I don't think it influences our daily lives.
Does it mean that everybody in the North has to move to the South?
It does.
And vice versa?
It does, yes. So I'd make your reservation now because...
The airlines are going to make...
Oh, it's not going to be good.
They're going to make a bunch
of... By then, Elon Musk will be taking you up down there on his rocket ship. Or whatever they call it at the
time.
So
nothing really seriously is
so on that topic...
Yes, go ahead, Torin.
So polar bears live in the Arctic near the North Pole. They do not live in the South Pole.
Right.
And penguins live in the South Pole on Antarctica and not in the North Pole. So are they going to have to switch places?
That's a good question. That's what we're trying to figure out. It's like, I don't know. Is it because they go, oh my gosh, this is no longer the magnetic South Pole. I better go find it.
Maybe there's something about the magnetic pole right now that is... in the North, that only attracts, has something to do with polar bear survival and penguin survival in the South. And if it flips, what happens to these creatures? I mean,
I think they're going to have to, By that time, they'll all be melted anyway. They're going to have to flip out. It's all going to... And my guess, it's like sort of humans. It's probably all about food anyway. And as long as the food's still there that you're eating, you're probably still there.
Okay, all this talk about eating has made me hungry. So how about we take a short break and I'll go get a snack. While listening to this, you may think, hey, you know, I wonder, well, if you have a question like that and want to ask us, there's a couple of ways you can do it. One would be through email, which is oopsculturshow@gmail.com. That's OOPS cultureshow@gmail.com. And then there's also our handle on Twitter, which is oopsculturshow. That's OOPS cultureshow. I know, it's not original, but it works. Okay.
Which takes us to Argentina.
Does take us to Argentina. How did that happen?
Well, I was going, I think.
Yeah, you did go to Argentina on me. Yeah.
And that's how we talked about the poll flips. Because in Argentina, we were talking about coffee and tea.
Right.
And the national drink there is, other than Argentine wine, Argentinian wine, the national drink is matcha. It's like herbal mate, right? Yerba mate, the yerba matcha that we would see in the stores.
Okay, yes.
So it's
had that.
It's like a tea.
Yes,
but
it is.
But it's not the tea plant. It's a different plant.
Right.
And but you,
in certain doses, it's supposed to be very good for you.
Yes, it has that bitterness. It is bitter.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Like a green tea, and that's very healthy. It's an antioxidant.
Yes.
Right. And so you drink that in Argentina often at the end of a lovely meal, a nice meal, there's a social ceremony with this too.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it usually is served in a gourd.
Uh huh.
You know, one of those like
what isn't.
The best things in life are served in a gourd.
Now there's a t-shirt.
When you're out of your gourd. Who said that? There was some comedian who
said that was a common phrase, being out of your
Argentine?
Gourd.
Was he Argentine?
Let's say yes, because it fits the story, and why not? No one's going to look it up. Except for Torin, who's about to look it up.
Who was the comic who said, out of my gourd?
Out of your gourd. Yes.
All right. But like those pumpkin vegetables, right? It's like a gourd.
Right, yeah.
So you brew the matcha in the gourd.
Yep.
And a silver straw is put into the gourd.
Ah, Argentine. Yes.
Right.
Okay.
And then it's passed around to everybody who's at the table.
Yes.
So everyone gets to sip out of the same silver straw.
Okay.
You take a sip of the matcha and you pass it to the next person.
Okay.
They have a sip and you pass it around. And that's how we, sort of like passing the peace pipe, right? And that's how we enjoy that drink in Argentina.
Huh. Okay.
No sugar. It's bitter.
It's bitter. And it's now, but
it's hot.
Is that something that is fairly frequent that you would run into?
Yes.
Interesting.
That's a way to socialize on a Friday night.
Is it
Saturday
legitimate
night?
To wipe off the tip of the straw before you use it?
No, you don't want to do
You don't
that.
Want to do that.
No.
You just go ahead and
you're with friends. So that's implying that
you can, and this is showing your friendship. Is that, would that be accurate?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It's hot too, you know, so it's going to kill any germs that come up through the straw.
Okay, we'll go with that. It's probably bogus, but we'll go with it anyway.
I know nothing about medical science.
Absolutely, so I would take your word for it in a heartbeat. Sounds legitimate to me. Yeah. Well, okay.
Well, you know, that's a similar challenge in Korea.
Uh-huh.
Because in Korea, the traditional way of passing a drink, for example, would be the host fills their glass, right? They take a shot, right, from their glass. It's Korean whiskey.
Yeah.
Then they fill it again and pass it to the person next to them.
Okay.
All right? And that person, now they're drinking out of the same glass that the host just drank out of,
right?
They drink it. Fill the glass, pass it to the next person.
Okay.
So everybody's getting a chance to drink out of the host's glass.
Same glass.
But every time down the line, you're getting the host and somebody else who drank out of that glass.
So we're adding, this thing is a petri dish
yeah,
by the time
you,
we get.
You got 20 people at the table
you are,
and
right.
you're number 19?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now see, I can see people from the U.S. Look, people give me a hard time if they get a glass that's not 100% clean in the restaurant, right? I mean, it may be perfectly fine, but it doesn't look right to them. So they're over in Korea, and this is going to take place, and they're not aware that this is going to happen, and it starts to happen to them. I mean, I could see some of these people really reacting. Almost not violently, but physically, you know, like they almost a gag reflex.
Well, like I said, this is not good news necessarily. No. But this is the way it is.
Suck it up and drink some.
You're in Korea.
Yeah. When in Korea, that's the old saying goes.
Oops, your culture's showing.
Oh, it's all showing all over the place. You bet. Yeah. It's so. I can see a real hesitation on the part of the person, uncertain.
If you're number 19, so, you know, depending on where you are asked to sit or
right.
shown to sit
right.
at the table, and you should always wait to be shown to where to sit, because where they seat you is an indication of their sense of your importance.
Importance, right? Okay, yes, and it's not to be felt like it's the same as it would be in Western
That's
cultures.
Right. You may not be seen as the equal to the host. You
right.
may be seen as somebody down the line.
The head of the
that.
Table or the middle of the table or whatever it happens to be are different things in different cultures.
Oh, that's, yes, that's right.
Yes, that's another podcast, I think.
I think so.
Right. Because
that's very complicated. But suffice it to say, the quick and dirty response is that in East Asia, Korea included, most restaurants you're going to be sitting at round tables.
Mm.
So it's hard to identify the head or the middle, right? But wherever the key host is sitting, that's the key spot you want to be at.
I dated a few people that was hard to figure out the head or the middle. It was strange.
But did it ultimately matter?
It didn't.
No.
I was the 19th person, I think. But that's a totally different story. That's okay.
Yes.
So Korea.
So you're going to get that, you're number 19 at a table of 20.
Just changed the whole dynamic, didn't
you know,
it?
And you got to put your lips on that glass. So everything that everybody else got, you just got.
You just got to. Yeah, yeah. Well, a lesson, boys and girls. There's a lesson for you.
The lesson is you hope that liquor is really, really strong.
Maybe like wood alcohol would be a good thing to be drinking at that point. Oh,
and a fine
yes.
point.
We'll be a judge of that, but go ahead.
When you pass the glass in Korea, you always pass it with your right hand,
uh-huh.
and your right arm's elbow should be supported with your left hand. Did I say that right? Yeah.
Yeah, you've got your left hand.
Your left hand
on your right elbow,
right,
and the glass is in your right hand,
and then you pass it,
and you pass it that way. Really?
So the extra support with your left hand shows extra sincerity, and you want to pass and receive anything in Korea that way.
Is that right?
Yeah, a business card.
Business cards, too.
Yes.
Now, do you have any clue where that came from?
A gift.
How did that evolve? Do you have any idea?
The evolution of that. I'm going to guess, and I don't know
okay.
for sure, but Korea's neighbors, Japan, China, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is done with two hands.
Uh-huh.
So if I pass that same cup of something in China or Japan,
right.
it would be done with two hands. If it's a business card, it would be done with two hands. If
right.
it's a gift of some sorts, receiving or giving, it would be done with two hands.
Okay.
But in Korea, it's one hand supported on the elbow with the other.
Huh.
Maybe it was a way to distinguish themselves because they were always in the shadow of two great other civilizations.
Right.
And one of
right.
the things about Korean civilization that's important to recognize and honor is the fact that they make a real effort to distinguish themselves. We are not Chinese. We are not Japanese.
Yes.
We are Korean.
Yes.
And in fact, we have an ancient civilization that in many ways goes further back and is
sure.
and was more advanced sooner than either of our neighbors.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
so maybe it was a way to distinguish themselves. But
sure.
But I'm not sure. Maybe Torrent can check that for us.
There could be another thing. If you can,
so busy checking so many things.
I know. And we have to wake him up each time. So if, Torin, see if you can, hello, Torin, see if you can, find anything about the tradition that we just described about the left hand on the right elbow when handing something in Korea to someone else.
Korean elbow thing. Got it.
There you go. I'm sure that'll do it. Yeah. Okay, Torin, while you're doing that, I'm going to elbow my way out to the kitchen and get something to drink and eat because I'm just starving today. Well, let's take a short break, okay? Okay, listen. The way to get hold of us is oopscultureshow@gmail.com. And our Twitter handle is oopscultureshow. Whether this is the first episode or the third episode or whatever episode that you've listened to, if you're still listening at this point, I think you might like this. And if you do, you should really subscribe. Because if you subscribe, these things will just show up for you and you can listen to them whenever you want to. That's the best way to go, really, honestly. I know what I'm talking about. All right, so just subscribe through iTunes or through wherever you get your podcasts from. But do it today, okay? Subscribe. Thank you. Korea's been in the news a lot in the United States for a variety of reasons, including the Koreans are the hosts for the Winter Olympics in 2018, and but also because of the ongoing situations with North Korea.
Oh, the constant political tensions.
Yes, and so we're hearing a lot, some of which is probably accurate and some of it probably isn't. In some ways, or exaggerated or something, because that's the normal course of how humans communicate, which goes to part of my expertise. But it is also that this understanding, like you're talking about, that this isn't just some country that has and civilization that has relied on the Chinese, who are their northern neighbor, or the Japanese, who are across a relatively short span of water. Or so on. These are people that are a proud civilization that has been split in two.
Right. They've been heavily influenced by Chinese culture and by Japanese culture. The Japanese invaded Korea.
There's
three major historical invasions.
There's a very powerful history of the Japanese
several hundred years.
in recent history.
Right.
Yes,
and Chinese prior to that.
Right.
But, you know, they are separated from their neighbors by on three sides by water.
Yes.
And on the fourth side by a very, very high and rugged mountain range. Mm. So they kind of developed independently. Mm-hmm. While being influenced, they were also independently and on their own. And that sense of isolation, I mean, historically, the Koreans referred to themselves as the Hermit Kingdom.
Yes.
Right? So that historic isolation has also influenced the development of their culture and their sense of unique identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have, for example, a written script. Mm-hmm. Their language, Korean, if you write it out in script, is very different from Japanese or Chinese.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting because Japanese and Chinese
use characters.
Characters that have been derived from a similar source.
Right. Well, Japanese scripts, the two major Japanese scripts derive from Chinese characters, right? But in Korea, no, we created alphabet. And that alphabet spells out words. And Korean script is an alphabet. It's not characters.
Almost more toward a European or Western,
Western style. Yes, a Western style purpose to the script.
Interesting.
So these are letters with sounds that spell words.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's called Hangul. And the Koreans are extremely proud of having done this at a time when the Chinese and the Japanese were both developing their script. They hadn't even finished that process.
Mm.
Right? So they see themselves as having achieved many, many unique things, and they really do want to stand out in opposition to the perception of the Chinese and Japanese being the major players in Asia.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, the circumstances that currently exist with the United States, at least, and other areas in the Western world, and North Korea, and the separation from that, we're getting a certain feel for them that becomes a very cold look at an ancient civilization there too. Now, that is not, it's not about the right or wrong of what they happen to be doing, because that's not the point of this discussion, but it is about the idea that these are much deeper societies that have these kind of traditions and cultures that need to be recognized in any kind of dealings with them to get this done.
And the interesting thing in Korea is that the North-South thing is a political thing. It's strictly a political thing. Uh-huh. They are the same two cultures, right?
Uh-huh.
So Northern Korean and Southern Korean. I mean, obviously, after a generation of political isolation and separation, there have been developed different attitudes. And certainly, you know, the economics of the North being different from the economics of the South creates a different mentality, too. But if fundamentally, it's the same culture.
Right.
North and Southern Koreans, and it's fundamentally it's the same language and the same history.
Sure.
But politically, it's different.
And politically, and it's now been, I mean, the Korean War was the early 50s, 1950s, so we're just talking that part of conflict that's in there, although there's millennia of conflict
in
the
area. And you see this in many places, right?
You know,
India and Pakistan.
Yeah.
Right. Different religious orientations. But fundamentally the same culture.
Yeah.
Anything we can say about Indian culture and we're going to say about Pakistani culture and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this in many places. Yeah.
Sure. There's another area too with cultures now. The cultures are obviously going to develop from the point that, let's say, the beginning of the Korean War, when that is all being influenced by the U.S. and others coming in through, in essence, what was the United Nations coming into there, but predominantly United States, and coming in to fight for the South Koreans and the Chinese fighting and supporting the North Koreans. And so you've got that influx happening. And then you've got the separation by the demilitarized zone that is there and has been there now for a better part of a century. It's not a century, but it's you're into that second half of a century that they've been living like this. So most of the people living there, I would have to assume, most of the people living there just know this to be the world that they're living in. But the culture they're coming from and the culture and the influences they're getting, I mean, we have to see that those are developing or changing or not changing.
Yeah, we don't know really because we don't know enough about the North, what's going on there.
You know,
I'm sure there are subtle changes. There have to be. But fundamentally, the two are the same culturally.
And for so long.
Korean is a Korean.
For literally millennia.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating, and it's something that hopefully is paid attention to in the midst of things. But
well, we're paying attention to
it. We are. Listen to us. We know what we're talking about. We're saying it.
Torin, did you find anything out there about the elbow?
I did.
About the Korean elbow?
Yeah.
Is that a sports injury?
It is a sports injury. I think it comes from arm wrestling. Yes.
Or passing a drink too many times.
There you go. That's my injury.
Yes, and that's exactly what I found. No. So I mentioned using two hands as an act of respect, like you mentioned. But specifically, it appears to have originated from the practice of holding back the sleeve of the hanbok, the Korean traditional Korean garment, so that it wouldn't touch the table or the food, because it was considered very rude for the sleeves to touch the food, the table, or the drinks, and so the hand would therefore rest on the elbow as that's happening.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Whether you really found that or you made it up, I don't care.
Perfect.
It's just brilliant.
I made it all up. No, I didn't.
And good for you if you did. That was really well done.
Well, if you've seen pictures of the traditional Korean garment, the hanbok, the sleeves cover the hands.
Okay.
So you cannot see the hands. So, of course, if you're going to use your hands, you've got to pull the sleeve up.
I mean, how many times have I said that?
My jaw drops. I'm just stunned.
I mean, isn't it true that that's where culture is going to come from? It's going to come from the practicality of things as much as it is from any kind of formalized settings.
Absolutely. Except that what is practical in one place may not be practical in another.
So thus, different culture.
Because if I don't wear garments that cover my hands, I don't have to think about it.
Right. Right. And why don't I wear garments that don't cover my hands? Well, because of the different climates or different other things that were...
Or a sense of modesty or...
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And we will be doing, by the way, we're going to try to come up with the traditions and things like that that create some of these things. Like this one. This one, I mean, come on. We could have sat here for quite a while. I don't think we would have come up with that.
No, it took Torin to imagine that.
That's the only reason we have him involved.
Right.
Right. That and laughing.
My imagination. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
If if you look at the old family portraits, the ancestor portraits of Chinese,
yes.
Ancestor portraits was a traditional art in China where you had the patriarch and the matriarch of the family sitting side by side on a chair in traditional robes,
sure, yeah.
right? Very common with a scroll indicating who they were and the family. And everybody who could afford one would have a family
portrait.
Yeah. But if you look, usually, like portraits of Confucius or paintings of Confucius, the great Chinese philosopher,
right. yes.
always depicts him with his fingernails long.
Very long.
Very long.
Yes.
So what's that about? Why long fingernails?
It's a little Howard Hughes.
What did Howard Hughes have long fingernails?
In the later years, he kind of went. He wasn't looking good, you know, and he just never trimmed the nails at all, so they grew very long.
And maybe for the same reason, because it's a sign of not needing to do manual labor.
I think in his case, it was a sign of not knowing who he was or where he was.
That may be.
Yeah.
That may be.
But we'll go with the not having to do manual
labor.
But
in traditional Chinese culture, if I've got long fingernails, then I must be of a caste or in the social hierarchy
sure.
where I don't have to be out there in the fields.
Yeah, because you're not doing that with those babies.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
Because they're long. We're talking long.
Long, long.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And today that's usually symbolized because we're needing to use our fingers for our handhelds and our computers.
Right.
But the pinky nail often, the finger that's least used,
yeah.
even today in contemporary China, is often longer than the other nails.
Oh, really?
As a sign of the fact that you're still not having to do manual labor the way it was done.
Is that still as important? I mean, most systems, and there's most of the countries out there, I would say, I'm just working off of what I think I know, which is very dangerous, but I'm thinking most of them have some sort of levels of status in a society.
Yeah, I mean, you get three people together, you've got politics and status.
Yeah.
So if you do a whole culture, that's going to be an important concern.
Sure.
Right.
Okay. And so, and it's these people want to be these people, and these people don't want those people to be these people kind of thing.
So you
define yourself.
You have things that define and demonstrate your role.
Right.
Right.
Right. Just humans. What are you going to do?
You know? Dress does that everywhere. The way we dress.
Oh, yes.
Is a definition of our social role.
Yes. And I'm meaning to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
Because this is kind of sad.
What do I need to do?
Oh,
you
my
sound like
gosh.
My wife now.
Oh, we don't have enough time.
She's always telling me, you can't wear that. I'm going, why not? She says, you can't. You can't go outside looking like that.
Is she talking about your clothes with that? Or?
Well, I'm assuming, but maybe I need to check into this further.
I think you should make clarification here.
What else could she possibly be referring to?
Who knows? Who knows?
You can't go out there looking like that.
There you go. I think I've heard that also, and it wasn't my clothes.
Or the other version is, did you look in a mirror?
Well, I try not to, if I can possibly help it. there's this whole area over in Korea, and not in this podcast, but we will allude to what's going on over there as the world is as we speak right now, the world is coming to, or has come, the athletic world has come to Korea for the Olympics. And that's certainly an area, the Olympics, and going to many cultures. And you see these different cultures coming in. But opening ceremonies tend to be really interesting, I think, when you watch what they choose to do to represent their countries.
I was fascinated during the Beijing Olympics, going back, what are we, is this 8 years, 4 years, something like that?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
The Beijing Olympics, just the volume of people involved in the opening ceremony.
Yes.
I mean, it was clearly a choice
to
overwhelm the viewer with putting the population of a major city into the stadium.
Oh, yeah. The drummers.
Yeah.
What
did we have? We had the population of Minneapolis drumming.
At least. And I think Mary Tyler Moore was out there. It was, again, reference. Oh, yes.
Did we lose her?
We did. I'm thinking a little over a year ago. something
like that.
Let's
talk about Beijing because that's making me too sad.
Okay, let's moving on.
So the drummers, so a million people like in the one stadium, right? So what does that tell you about the culture?
I mean, yeah, this is the power of people and the power of the group that you were talking about earlier.
This is the power of the group. If you put all these people together, look what you can make happen.
Yes.
Right? And there would be, it was no surprise actually that this would be a main theme in the Beijing Olympics.
Right.
In the Chinese Olympics.
Right.
And nor was it a coincidence or an accident that the Olympics opening ceremony in Beijing occurred at 8 o'clock at night.
Yes.
On the eighth day of the eighth month.
This is 8 o'clock their time.
Their time.
On the eighth day of their eighth month.
Which was August.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And the reason in 2008.
Okay. And why would that be not a coincidence?
Because eight is a lucky number in Chinese culture.
Ah.
And triple eights are super lucky.
Really?
And the at 8 o'clock on the eighth day of the eighth month.
Okay.
This was no accident.
No, that's in 2008.
Right. Just the opposite. The number four in Chinese culture is unlucky.
Death, correct?
The word sound, when you speak it in Mandarin, it's very similar in sound to the same word that for death.
Okay.
Right. So four is an unlucky. Many Chinese, for example, would pay a great deal of money to avoid having a license plate on their car that had four in it.
Okay.
Or they'd pay a lot of money to get a license plate that had eights in it.
Sure.
Right. If you're hosting somebody from China and they're coming to visit you in America.
Yes.
And they're staying at a hotel.
Yes.
Tell the hotel, don't put them on the fourth floor.
Okay.
Don't schedule a meeting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Or a room with a four in it.
Or a room with a four in it.
Okay. Right?
Or anything in fours.
Yes.
You know, don't bring them four plates of food. I mean, or it's unlucky.
Sure.
You know, it's like the 13th floor, I guess, right. In the West,
that
right?
Typically, the buildings don't have a 13th floor on them in the United States.
Yeah. Or, like, people won't buy homes. Chinese who are looking to invest in the United States, they won't buy property if the address has too many fours in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is very important.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
And so I was impressed that the Beijing Olympics took this into consideration.
It really did show that the human element as opposed to the technology element that can be there. And I thought the Korean opening ceremonies were very interesting in the sense that they did that. They also had drummers. They had a large quantity of them out there.
And they had the white tiger as the central symbol.
And they had the white tiger, yes. But they also had a great deal of technology that came in that did things that were, that perhaps could have been done in other ways, but they did with technology because South Korea is a very technologically advanced country.
They are the most wired nation in the world.
Yeah, and people, especially in the United States, people don't understand that.
I think recently they just passed a law about cell phone addiction, where you can't use
did
your phones.
Did they? Because that's a discussion
age,
here in the United States at
this point.
As it
should be.
Yes. And whether, is that real or is it not? And
unless you're listening to this podcast on your handheld. In that case,
right, and there is no such thing as addiction.
No, right.
None whatsoever. We have documented proof of that.
In fact, we are manipulating the cell phone addiction so that you don't even think about not tuning in to the next episode.
Absolutely.
Because you already are processed to do so.
I believe that they have done studies. I've heard. There are studies done that say that if you listen to this podcast, and you continue to listen to future versions of this podcast episodes, then that will keep you from having an addiction to your cell phone. I think that truly is that way. Yeah.
That's right.
That's well put. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? I think your culture's showing. And I think that's a good thing. We're going to wrap this baby up. And we'll come back to several of these things next time. Because we opened up a lot of doors. And now
the wind is coming in. And
it is. I'm freezing over here. We got to get out of here. All right. All right. Well, this is Tom Peterson. I'm your host. That's Torin laughing in the background. He's our producer. and Dean Foster, who is... Who are you?
I'm closing the windows.
Thank you very much. oops. Your culture's showing. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. And smell ya. Okay, I'm speaking very quickly because I realize that you listened to the entire thing and now you're done. You thought it was all over, but I'm still talking. How come I'm still talking? Well, because I really need you to subscribe to Oops, Your Culture's Showing, because we're a brand new podcast and we can really use your help. So we appreciate it. Just subscribe to Oops, Your Culture's Showing through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. Thanks.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.